Right, today I'm talking to Ivan Harrison, the guy who promotes the Nice and Sleazy Festival. Hiya, Ivan.
Hi, Johnna.
First of all, do you want to give us a bit of a background on the Sleazy Festival, how it started?
Well, it's been going in its current format 13 years now, 14 next year. But we actually started 2 years before that, in 2004, I think it was, when the rather bigger Rebellion Festival, as it's known now. But then it was called Wasted, was in Morecambe. And they were looking for somewhere for campers to come and camp. And the venue I use has got plenty of land. And we spoke to the organisers of Rebellion. And we sat down and we sorted it all out. And we got about 1,200 campers from all over the world coming to stay. So the idea sort of, before they left the campsite, when they were having breakfast in the morning and before they went at lunchtime, we put on what we call the Three B's Festival, which was beer, breakfast and a band, hence Three Beers.
Wow.
And that was the sort of early beginnings of Nice and Sleazy.
Wow. What motivated you to put Sleazy on, though? I mean, there's the Wasted thing. Were you just trying to help out?
Well, I used to help with Wasted when it was in Morecambe.
Right.
I used to help Dan. We used to put up the stage managers where we lived. But basically, when it left the town, I thought we needed it, that gap filling. And it's not the cheapest festival to go to in Rebellion. It's not dear for the amount of bands you get. It's really good, actually, but not everyone can afford it. And I wanted a budget festival where for around 50 quid still, you can come and see 80-odd bands, plus your camping, all included in a price and cheap drink. And food.
Wait, 65 quid, was it this year?
65 quid on the door,
right.
50 quid if you bought the early bird. Wow. And it's just, we've held that price now for, this is a third year.
Are bands playing at a lesser price then, or?
Good negotiations.
Right.
You know, the bigger bands will always ask for what, you know, their regular money. So we've got to pay that. But a lot of bands just like to play because they don't, you know, they'll turn up in a car because they don't have to bring any equipment, just the guitars.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything's provided, drum kit, PA, backline. So they don't really need any. They turn up for 45 minutes and have a whale of time and we give them passes for the weekend.
I think, who is it, that band that I like, that Smiley in the Underclass? I mean, they turned up in an old battered car and just walked in, played and walked out again.
They are so nice, Smiley in the Underclass. They rung me up a week or two after. And they were so happy that, you know, they felt it had gone really well. Right. And they travelled up from London. Put them on again, you know, think about them and we'll
I'd
do
like
it.
I'd like to see them again.
Yeah, I'm thinking...
about that underground gig, are they going to be playing at that?
They're on my list of bands. I was just going to go there, Yeah, no, they're on my list. So we've got Millie Manders and the Shut Up. They were very popular this year. Yeah. They're playing all over at the moment.
Right.
Building a massive reputation. So that's the 20th of October. At the Underground, Millie Manders, plus support, hopefully, we'll have...
Are they headlining then, Millie Manders?
Millie Manders, yeah. Hopefully Smiley in the Underclass. We might put another headliner in. It all depends how it goes when we start selling
Jake
tickets.
Jake and his duvets.
Jake and the duvets.
The duvets.
The depends how posh you are.
The duvet brothers. they were good
Oh,
fun.
God, whatever.
So when do you start preparing for the festival then?
We actually start probably just before the festival starts for next year. Just a lot of it we don't do on the weekend. We spot the bands who do perform well, like Millie Manders did very well. She was invited back straight away. This year I've spread the workload around because it is hard work organising bands and we must have about 30, 40 bands booked already for next year. We've had them for a good few weeks now.
Because I thought you'd be negotiating with bands throughout the year. I'm quite surprised you said it doesn't take that long to do it.
Well, it does take all year because booking 80 bands isn't a five-minute job.
No.
But we try and get the main bands booked in as soon as possible because at the end of the day, people will buy tickets on the strength of the bands.
Well, yeah, definitely.
You know, so it does take, and we're booking bands right up until a few weeks before. So it is a full 12-month period where we're booking bands because you get bands will pull out. The big bands pull out, small bands pull out for whatever reason. We have a bit of competition around about, you know, so...
But I noticed that weekend, I mean, bands were just turning up from other festivals. So,
yeah, yeah.
You know, there was a lot on that weekend.
Yeah. When I started mine, like 14 years ago, the main nice and sleazy bit, another festival started at the same time, although we didn't know each other then, and that's Strummer Camp in Manchester, that's moved about a little bit around Manchester. So we get bands who play that or come and play sleazy and vice versa. But we were the first two on that weekend, and now there's so much competition. And the weekend after, there's a big punk festival that a lot of our people go to as well. So,
which one is that?
It's in Amsterdam.
Oh, is that
Rebellion, Amsterdam.
I thought that was relatively new.
It is. That's the first. Well, he's done Amsterdam before, but not the week after my festival, like. So obviously those were the dates he got. And we get a lot of people who come to ours went to Amsterdam, but some people make that choice. Do we go to Amsterdam or do we stay in Morecambe? Can't do both.
If you're going to all these festivals, because they're all in quite close to each other as well, it racks up money, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we've got this Rebellion coming up as well at end of July.
Beginning of August.
Yeah, you know, that's quite a lot of money, I suppose.
It is a lot of money. The ticket prices aren't cheap at a lot of festivals, but it's not just the ticket price, it's accommodation. We're lucky at Nice and Sleazy. We've got a big open air surround, as you know, you've seen it.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got the campsite a few metres away from the main building with the bars, and the marquee is on the far side, so it's all sort of enclosed. It's quite private, so it's family friendly, very family friendly, and that's what people like. Some of the other festivals, you've got to find hotels, B&Bs, and it adds cost. And the Trimpel, I sit down with the Trimpel every year and discuss what the prices are going to be, the pricing structure for the drink and the food that they serve. I don't want them adding a pound or whatever to a pint.
I think that was one of the big things that I noticed. The shit, like I say, like, everybody was saying it was like a family and all this, like, but I think a lot of that goes down to the fact that you actually care about the punters.
Oh yes.
You know, if you look at the catering, there was loads of different type of food. It wasn't just just slap a bit of food on a plate. There were all sorts of options there, vegan and stuff. And
the caterers they've got now at the Trimpel that work on that weekend work so hard, it's unbelievable. And they've got vegan food, vegetarian food, normal food. They've got every sort of food you can think of. And they're going on, you know, they're working very hard, Gold Star Catering. And they've been there for a couple of years now, and they're very, very good at what they do.
Well, every time I went near it, there was a queue all the time. So I think that's the market for somebody who's doing good food.
Yeah.
And the prices
are reasonable. Yeah.
You know, see, I just looked at it and it just thought, you know, in this day and age with austerity and all the thing, it's all about let's bleed everybody dry. Let's just.
That's right.
Yours was completely the opposite. It was
you go to a lot of festivals, you're paying £5, £6, sometimes £7 for a pint. At the Trimpel, where we hold the Nice and Sleazy venue festival, you get a pint for around £2.30, £2.50, the cheapest beer. It's excellent value.
Yeah.
We don't want to rip people off. We just want the people who can't make festivals, you know, the big festivals like Glastonbury and things like that. They want the festival feel, so they come to the Trimpel and they get a good bargain.
I remember going to Glastonbury in 1987 and complaining it were 18 quid in.
See, when Glastonbury first started, it might have been free in, I can't remember, but...
60s, probably. What, 97,
they used to give them free milk. I don't think they give them free milk anymore. You know, it's because the pyramid stage.
Yeah.
He's on top of the cow sheds, I believe.
I think they missed the year after. It was all right, you know.
They missed this year. That, you know, a lot of local festivals have done quite well, I think, with Glastonbury not on, because people want to try different things.
Yeah, well, that's just a corporate festival.
You know, it seems to be. You need a lot of money to go.
These are all the bands we want you to listen to.
Yeah,
not what you want to listen to.
Yeah.
And that's another thing about you, it's all about your customers. I mean, there's a lot of care that goes into making it an enjoyable weekend for people.
We look after our customers just like we look after our family. Because it's my family work the festival, as you've probably seen, the family. And a lot of the people who work for me or help out as volunteers have been doing it since day one. So they've all got a good feel for the festival. And a lot of people come year after year. We make them feel welcome and at home.
Well, that was, you know, I've talked about this when I was filming and we were keeping up to date and that lot. And everybody said the same thing. It's just so chilled out. It's so relaxed.
Yeah.
It's like you feel like part of the family.
Mm.
And when you're doing stuff like that, people want to come back.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand why this mentality of let's just get what we can out of people, because it's cold.
I mean, we even sit down with security beforehand and discuss, especially the new guys who might be working a festival for the first time, tell them what's what and tell them it's not like any normal festival you might do. You treat that person, whether they're drunk, sober, whatever, as your own brother or sister. How would you like to be treated?
Well, yeah.
You know, don't go around, being heavy with them, because they come for a weekend. A lot of them, it's a holiday for the year. And yeah, they drink a lot of beer. We all do at times in our life, haven't we?
Well, yeah.
You know, and I'd like to think there was someone looking after me, and that's what they do.
I don't think I saw anybody drunk, though.
No, it's there was a few.
I didn't see anybody being untoward.
No, I don't think they get mega drunk.
But I didn't see anyone being... There was one guy that pushed past security to talk to Millie Manders.
Right.
But he wasn't being abusive.
And
I think I'm assuming he had a ticket to get in there anyway. How did Sam get involved then?
Well, it was a few years ago. The sound team that I originally started with, it was getting a bit big for them, so we moved on to another guy from Wakefield. He did it for a few years, but it was getting too hard for him. So in the final year that guy was doing it, Tony from The Negatives, Tony Saunders, I knew about him and his studio in Bradford. I've got a lot of friends in Bradford because I was born and bred in Bradford. I got talking to Tony because he filled in a late slot of cancellation, a band that pulled out, basically. We got talking. He said, if you ever want a sound team to come down, give us a ring. And that year, the guy who was doing it decided he wanted to leave. So we discussed it roughly on that weekend that The Negatives were playing. And we had a few more meetings. I came over from Bradford to Morecambe, and we sorted out what I wanted, and we were all happy. So from then on, Sam had been doing it, really, and they're good lads, they're a good team.
One thing I noticed, they have all the kids with a learning disability.
Brilliant, yeah.
One of them was called Social Inclusion. That is so fantastic. Yeah. I don't know why other festivals don't
It's beggar's belief, really, because there's so many people out there with learning difficulties, disabilities, who don't get that sort of chance. No one's prepared to take that chance. And we're hoping to expand on that a little bit in the future.
Do a festival for learning?
Well, we've thought about a day or maybe 2 days on the lead up to Sleaze itself.
Right, that'd be fantastic.
You know, I think it could work really well.
You know, we're all part of society, and you know, all these people are getting left behind. The most vulnerable in our society are getting picked on by the people at the top to look after these.
If there's any cutbacks, it's the people at the bottom who suffer.
All the time.
Yeah.
It should be the people at the top, because they create all this.
Well, they do, yeah.
Kind of ironic, we've got you from Bradford, we've got the Sorn boys are from Bradford.
Yeah.
In Morecambe, which is known as Bradford by the Sea.
That's right, yeah.
Because it's a lot of historical connections to
Morecambe. Oh, yes. Morecambe. It's great that I can come back and, you know, we're going to do the thing at the Underground in October. It's just, I like Bradford a lot. You know, it has its problems. There's nowhere it doesn't have problems. We have problems in Morecambe. Everywhere's the same.
I was just thinking of it. I mean, your festival was so laid back, so friendly, and obviously you'd like a few more people going.
Yeah.
What sort of level would you like? Because if you got it too big, you might lose what's great about it.
I don't want it too big because it is a family friendly, and we wouldn't be able to look after everybody the way we like. But I don't think it'd take a lot. You know, we'd like it to grow a little bit more because I've got the space to do that. And we could have different themed areas if you wish.
Yeah, yeah.
Operating, you know, we don't have to be all operating at the same time, so people miss certain bands. Right. But we could have a marquee where people can go in and jam together, do a bit of everything.
Yeah, I would think, I guess, 60s punk.
60s punk.
There's a psychedelic festival in Liverpool, which I only found out about last year. And I was expecting all these bands from the 60s, because I've seen a couple, Sonics and a couple, and the one band that I'd heard of. Apparently, it's a massive music genre again.
Right.
So the band's playing it, and you know, that 60s garage punk, I'm sure the punk community, if they're not aware of it, would love it.
Interesting.
And I don't know if there's anybody putting them type of bands on.
I'll have to put a bit of research into that one and see what's what.
I don't see much difference between the garage punk and the 70s punk, really. I wasn't aware of the 60s punk.
No, I wasn't.
70s.
No.
I think it'd go down well.
See, we have all genres of music at Nice and Sleazy. We've had mod bands, we've had oi bands, and it does attract, you know, all sorts of different people. All these people at one time used to be against each other, you know, and now they're all coming together.
Well, that's another thing. You know, when I went to Holidays in the Sun, what it wasted Holidays, when Cocksparrow played, the first time they came back, so whether it were wasted...
That was wasted then, I think.
Well, I went to that one because I went with an old girlfriend of mine. Spine. And she says, come to this gig, I've got a spare ticket. So I went up there with her, and Cock Spanner were playing. It was just full of skinheads. Now, my memories of skinheads in the 70s, I was fighting with them all the time.
There was a lot. But the two-tone sort of did change a little bit of that. It's
same when I went to Rebellion, there were loads of skinheads there when it were at Blackpool. And my natural action when I see skinheads is to be all aware and look out. And there were no trouble at any of them. They don't seem to be the same mentality as the old skinheads.
I mean, we get them sometimes, quite a few come to that. It depends what bands you put on, basically. Yeah. But we've had skinhead bands on before. Unfortunately, there's not that many skinhead bands about anymore. Well, I don't see them anyhow. So
complications.
We've had no real complications, nothing really gone on. But some people always don't like skinhead music. You'll always get them people. Mm. You know, I've had bands on before. People just walk out. They've done well at Rebellion. I thought, book them. Booked a band a few years ago from Brighton. I think they're called Pog. Not a skinhead band or anything like that. It's a little bit different punk. And I saw them at Rebellion and they packed the room out. Had them on at Sleaze, everybody walked out. And I've never seen that before. And I've never really had it since. But people just didn't like it. They were a punk band, but a little bit electronic sort of stuff going on. Folky.
You need a bit of something different as well, though, don't you?
Yeah.
Just repeating what everybody else
That's
is
doing.
That's right. So you've got to evolve.
Yeah.
So you've got to try new things.
Yeah, we're bringing in more new bands than ever now because people want to see a change. They don't want to see the same band every year.
Well, yeah, there's that as well. You need a bit of diversity.
I mean, obviously, there's some bands who do play each year. You know, they might do two or three times. But you get bands who do get in touch with you and say, why aren't we playing? We play for the last 5 years. And they're quite nasty about it, some of them. You know, it's not because we don't like them. We just got to evolve.
You need a change, don't
you? You know, we move on.
You don't want to watch the same bands every time.
No.
Now, we're going to ask you a few punk questions now. So when did your love of punk rock start then?
Probably the same time as you.
1977?
Roughly. Right. I would say probably I bought it? About 76 in Valances in Bradford. Anybody around used to go upstairs into the record department. And they had a TV on there playing, believe it or not, a Sex Pistols. It must have been one of the early DVDs.
Right.
Not DVDs, videos, yeah, I should video. Say. I thought that sounds quite good. And I bought the last copy of Anarchy in the UK. It was in the slot where it was, you know.
Wow.
Sex Pistols. And that's it. One thing led to another. I remember, then hunting down when the album came out. I remember, I don't know if you remember, the old Virgin Record shop in the Arndale Centre.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had all the windows papered out in brown paper, if I remember right.
Upstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's where I got my copy for Nevermind the Bollocks.
Yeah. It caused a lot of offence at the time, and they're all over the
Smith's.
News.
What was it? Was Smith still there then? I can't remember.
It might.
It was where Smith's.
It was on the corner.
It was on that corner,
yeah,
wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah, I remember them putting brown paper over the windows,
right?
Because they were banned from showing it in the window, so they went a step further, just covered the whole windows up.
Valances, I remember Valances.
Valances was a popular place.
They used to get some really, really rare records.
Yeah.
I remember Susan the Banshees, the first single that came out with the gatefold sleeve. And we went round everywhere, went round Bradford, HMV, went round all shops in Leeds, and nobody had it. And we came back to Bradford and we went to Valances and they had some. And the Rings, and there were other they used to get some really, really hard to get older punk records.
I think it's Valances still going, but in Leeds. Is there Valances in Leeds? I'm sure I read somewhere, but
I don't think they'll have any punk records left.
No. I remember going in the HMV, I think it was HMV, just around the corner on Broadway there, facing the old cinema on the other side of the road.
ABC, were it?
No. The Mucky Cinema.
Penthouse, was it?
Penthouse, something like that. There used to be a record shop there at HMV, and they used to a lot of bands used to call in there and do record signings. Saw XTC there, they did a bit of a thing, and they bought a signed copy of an album there.
I remember them playing at Bradford University in 1977, I thought. I saw them on Old Grey Whistle Test, and I liked the B-side of that first single, Dance Band.
Right.
So I bought that, and I went to see them, and I thought they were rubbish.
But you used to go to the uni. A lot of bands used to go to the uni in them days.
It was
a good place to go and watch bands.
We used to live with the social sec. We used to put all the bands on.
Right.
We used to scream for him to put loads of punk bands on, and he never did because they only got a small budget then for bands.
Yeah.
There was one time when a band called Grupo Sportivo turned up.
I remember them.
And he didn't have any money. The guy who put the back out of his name now, but he didn't have any money to advertise them. So we just said, get some spray cans, spray paint it all over the walls. So he did.
Right.
And loads of people turned up then because they wondered who they were. I've never forgotten Group O Sport Team. It used to be written all back.
I think I remember, yeah.
78 this one.
Yeah.
And it spread paid it all the way up Odeon and all.
I'm going to say that's where, I'm just going to say, took the words right, I seem to remember it on the side of the Odeon.
They're on the Group O Sport Team, yeah. In big letters.
I thought, who the hell's that like? You know, it's...
Well, I don't think they were a punk band. They were like some, I think, I bought the LP at the week in the charity shop. I bought it.
Right.
I think they were Dutch.
Right, right.
Band or something. Right. Yeah, but then the budget was really tiny because we used to say, God, you need to get Adam and the Ants on.
Well, I saw Adam, like yourself, I think we were probably in the same building the same night, Royal Standard on Manningham Lane,
yeah,
you know, no longer there. But that was a great pub, did all sorts of different music. You know, saw a lot of punk bands, don't remember seeing a lot of bands there, but because I was probably drunk, if you know what I mean.
Well, it's Sunday night. Two bands, 80p, Malcolm coming around, terrorises.
Of course, Adam and the Ants were all this, what it turned out to be,
in them days? Proper band then.
Proper punk band.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, it was sold out, them two gigs.
Yeah, yeah.
What are your favourite bands and your favourite moments from those times, you know? Have you got a favourite band?
Punk band or any band?
Well, see, we're on about punk rock. Well, any band, punk, but I mean, what punk band?
Well, I have a soft spot for the Stranglers.
Right.
Some people say the punk, some people will not. The argument will rage forever and a day. But they were there at the right time, and it sort of, you know, they had that sound. Mm. You know, it's quite a good sound that they had. And I've seen them a few times, and I still hear the argument whether they're a punk band or not a punk band.
I saw them once, 1977, with the Drones and the Saints at Queen's Hall in Leeds, and I thought the Drones were the best band. I didn't like the Stranglers, to be honest.
Right.
I didn't dislike them either. It was that bloke on keyboard who looked like he were indoors.
Dave Greenfield.
He looked like he should be indoors or something. You know,
because he had a different... Yeah, I know where you're coming from.
That lot. I mean, there were punk elements to their music.
Yeah.
Jean-Jacques
Burnell.
Yeah, he seemed a bit of a punk, but the rest of them seemed... I don't know, hippies and rockers and whatever.
You know, it was new then. You know, it was quite new. And a lot of people who come into the scene since, who are a lot younger, after our age or whatever, don't class them as a punk band. But at the time, no class as a punk
they
band.
Came under,
like the Jam.
Yes, I didn't like them either.
They always get slated, you know, but...
But they look like mods.
Yeah. You see, a lot of people didn't like the Clash because they could play their instruments,
I didn't
allegedly.
Like Clash. I'm sat here talking about punk rock. I didn't like Clash either. I just saw them as somebody else trying to tell me I should live my life.
But, I still insist, and I've had this argument with a few peoples and a radio station back home about when did punk sort of start in this country. And I think the birth of it, to me anyhow, was a pub rock scene. Bands like, let's think, Dr. Feelgood.
Well, yeah.
You know, you watch them.
Bernie Schwartz.
Absolutely superb,
them,
yeah.
101ers and all that sort of stuff.
You know, they're good bands.
Kilburn and the High Roads.
Yeah,
all that sort of stuff.
Canvey Island produced quite a few good bands, Eddie and the Hot Rods.
I remember seeing them a couple of times.
You know, they played Sleazy a few years ago.
Are they still going then?
No, still going, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I saw them twice at George's Hall. I've still got tickets for that somewhere. With their radio
I think
stars.
It's been and gone now. You won't be able to use them.
No, I went to the gig. I went to the gig.
That was another good venue to go and see bands. But bands don't seem to tour no more. They seem to... Small venue in maybe a small club, and they're wanting to play big stadiums now. There's no where's the music for the people?
Well, it's there isn't, is there?
It's just gone.
Yeah.
You know, they say things improve, but I don't think it has in music terms.
I think everything's getting streamed down. If I look back at my life hitchhiking all over the country, Adam and the Ants and all these other bands, kids nowadays have just got one festival and see all the bands.
That's
and,
right.
All the life experiences taken away from it. You know, you just pay hundreds of pounds and go sit there and get drunk and watch all the bands at one gig.
See, I'm like you. I used to stand at the end of the motorway and thumb out. I was going to see a non-punk band. I went all over to see a particular band. Everybody knows who my favourite band is.
I don't. Oh, Queen, is it?
Queen.
Have we had this discussion? At
you
one
know,
point?
And I saw them as a support band in Leeds to Motley Hoople, and it just blew me away from that moment.
That was 74,
73, 74. You know, it was brilliant. And watching them progress, You know, to be probably the biggest band in the world at the time with a great lead singer. You know, I met the band quite a few times. Brilliant people, but you find that most people in bands are brilliant people. People seem to think they're going to be a bit different, but they're no different to you and me.
The human beings that ended there.
That's right, yeah.
I used to like Queen myself then before. Yeah. Queen 2 in particular, I've still got a copy.
That's my favourite Queen album, Queen 2.
It's so diverse, that album. Yeah. I think once they started getting popular for me, I didn't like the first album, strangely.
Right.
I like the second album, that Queen 2. I like Sheer Heart Attack and bits of the other one, the white one, whatever.
A Night at the Opera.
Yeah, and after that, everything just sounded like rock music. All the creativity just went out.
Right.
That's only my opinion. Yeah. But they stopped being experimental to me.
They did in a lot of ways, because they used to make a lot of sounds. They always used to put on their album covers, and that was a great thing, getting an album cover, wasn't it? You know,
because get a download, what's that about?
You know, you can't read nothing about what's going on, you know, but whatever. But they always used to put on no synthesizers again, you know. Mm. And they never used to get, then they started in the later years using synthesizers, you know. But, you know, there's umpteen bands before punk came along that I like.
Pink Floyd, I
Pink like, Floyd, yeah. You know.
Well, the early stuff.
I like Led Zeppelin. No. Probably like most blokes or women at
Bowie,
my age.
David Bowie.
I liked his early stuff, Bowie. Yeah. Didn't like his later stuff, but.
Well, once I discovered punk, I stopped liking everybody.
You see, I didn't stop liking other music. You know, because I thought, well, Queen's been there before this came along. And, of course, everyone knows that Queen, there's a connection between Queen and the Sex Pistols, for instance.
They're on the same label, for a start.
Well, yeah, not just God Save the Queen or anything like that, but the Bill Grundy show.
They were supposed to be on.
It was meant to be Queen doing that show, and they had to pull out because they couldn't make it.
Put the Pistols on.
The Pistols came in late for that one.
What a bit of luck, that one.
It was. He couldn't have planned that much better, really.
Have they ever interviewed Queen about that, about what they thought?
Well, Freddie Mercury didn't think a lot about Johnny Rotten.
That's a shame.
You know, I don't think they liked each other, really.
That's a shame, really.
Yeah. But he might do now. Well. You know, because they sell butter now, don't they, these people?
This is another big thing, isn't it, about punk. What's he doing now? You know, I don't care what he's doing now. No. To me, the most important thing is he was there then.
Yeah.
People can't live their lives for everybody else.
Things move on.
You know, and I still like what he says. You know, I still, out of all the punk guys, he's the one that I connect to more than any of the others. I don't like everything he says, but, you know, he's a working class kid like us from the same kind of background. So, you know, I see a lot of authenticity in him, but I've also know people who've known him a long time who see him now, and I think he goes a bit off it these days. It falls out with a few people.
Yeah.
I'd love
funny
to
person.
Speak to him about that gig when he came to talk to us in Huddersfield.
Right.
He came to talk to us. He tapped a fag off of us. Not we had to go and beg to talk to him. He came and talked to us. You know, that was, as a 16-year-old kid, well, I think I just turned 17, actually.
Right.
You know, that was massive.
I was 18 in 77. Great year to be 18. The sort of the diversity of music time was unbelievable. There were so many bands around the fringe of punk that sort of got dragged into it.
Ultravox.
There's umpteen bands out there. Ian Drury and the Blockheads weren't really punk. No. Elvis Costello, Debbie Harry, Blondie.
Yeah.
They weren't really punk bands.
They didn't sound like punk, but they all...
But they all sort of came in on the back of punk.
I think they had a bit of a punk attitude, which is what punk were about. Yeah. Really. It wasn't so much about the music, but they all had a message to play.
Didn't play for long, though, in the great scheme of things.
No. I mean, I wish I'd have been a couple of years older with a bit more life experience. I mean, I left school in April 1977.
Right.
I got into punk at Butlin's, Skegness. I went there and I bumped into a guy called Ian James who was working there. I didn't know him before. And he was a punk. And he just said, "Where do it disco? Come and listen to this." And as soon as I heard Damned.
Right.
Is she really going on with it? That was it. And there were three punks there and I were like pogoing with them, jumping all over. This was about end of February, March. Because we were poor, you could go to these holiday resorts at a cheaper rate.
Yeah.
When it ended winter, when weather would winter had just kind of finished, but it was still cold, so you could get it cheaper. And that's where we went because we didn't have enough money, and that's how I got into punk.
Funny you should mention holiday camps because Ponting's approached Nice and Sleazy myself on more than three or four occasions now, wanting us to do Nice and Sleazy in a holiday camp, i.e., Southport, but they're not really bothered. But it's not at the same time of year.
Right.
It's in the sort of leading up to summer and going out of summer when it is quieter.
Right.
But
so what would that be, August? No, not August, it'd be October.
Well, they're looking at October, November, out of the school holidays, obviously.
Right.
But it's not for me, holiday camp.
I would imagine that they'd be doing it for money as well, not for the...
Oh, yes,
so
yeah.
Use your idea and your formula.
Yeah, I mean, they don't come to me and say, here's X amount of pounds, you get the bands in, you organise it all. But
we'll
take
all the profits.
We take the profit. It's you pay for everything. And basically, you're renting the holiday camp off them for,
that's nice,
for a few days, a weekend.
Yeah, I'd be a bit suspicious of that one as well.
Well, yeah, we've not fallen into that trap, really.
It'd be nice at an holiday camp, though.
You know.
Well,
I don't like the idea.
Yeah, well...
You know, I like it... What we do now at the Trimpel, because we're a small town... The money's... People go around the town as well drinking.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they do enjoy it and they can go
it's
down
good for the economy, local
it's good,
economy.
It's good for... Very good for the local
That's
economy.
What I mean. If it were in a holiday camp, it'd all just go straight to holiday camp.
Yeah, whoever owns the holiday camps these days. So I'm not into that. And they can charge what they want for the beer.
Yeah.
I believe they have spa shops on holiday camps, but when they have the punk weekends, there's one down south somewhere.
Right.
Has a punk weekend, the Great British Alternative Music Festival.
Right.
They don't sell beer in the spa shops then.
Yeah.
You know,
but this is our society, though, isn't it?
£5 a pint, yeah.
This is our society. Let's put on a good idea. And it's all dressed up as we cared about music and we cared about people.
Mm.
But really, it's all we just cared about money.
Yeah.
That's what our whole society is about. Right, some more questions here. Punk's often stereotyped in the media as being a violent and aggressive kind of movement. Would you agree with that?
People who've never come across them in this day and age probably would go with what you've just described them. But when they come to Morecambe, all the grannies love it because they've seen, you know, they're not what they think they are. The more mellow now.
Mm.
One time, yeah, you used to be fighting and all the different factions again. Like we touched on it before, you know, different genres of music. I've clashed with Teddy Boys in Bradford in the 70s because of the way I looked, I had leather jeans on, you know, looked punkish.
Yeah.
And we chased down the street by a bunch of Teddy Boys. You know, them days it was that people saw that and they associated it with violence.
Mm.
And it probably was a bit of it in them days. That's how it was. But now, I think people just love to see their hairdos, you know.
They're a bit like old grannies now, aren't they?
Well, yeah, some of them. I mean, it makes me laugh, people say about going back Mohicans. You know, when I started being a punk, and that was back in Morecambe, we moved in 76, 77 from Bradford to Morecambe.
Right.
And people didn't have Mohicans. They just looked like, well, I'm not going to say they look like what I look like now, but... They just look like normal people, a lot of them. They might have had a leather jacket or ripped jeans or whatever. You know, I got barred from a pub for having a leather jacket, jeans with toilet chains hanging off them, and the jam scribbled on the back with paint.
Right.
And I got banned from a pub in Morecambe for life. We didn't want your type of people in that pub, they said.
That's another thing in our society. No blacks, no Irish. No.
Disgraceful.
We love to discriminate, don't we?
Yeah.
Anybody who's different.
It's wrong.
It is wrong.
It's wrong, and that's one thing we don't do at Sleazy. Everybody's welcome, as you know. You've seen it in action. You know, we support the local food bank, people with disabilities. You know, it's people who are downtrodden in this life.
These are all positive messages. Because one of my questions was at the end, do you think punk's changed anything in the long term? Or do you think it's just changed? I mean, obviously, it changed my life.
People who was there, I think it did change your life. You became more probably outgoing and independent. You felt you could go out there and do what you want and grasp it. I don't think you can do that now so much as you could then. Or it feels like it, maybe because we're a bit old, I don't know. Has it changed anything politically? Nothing's happened, really.
It's the crap, isn't it?
You know, we put up with Margaret Thatcher at a time and nothing changed. Music, I think it changed music forever. People did experiment a little bit more. Although there were experimental bands in the 60s, Pink Floyd, who we touched on before.
Yeah.
You know, they all... But
I think it caught the music people off guard because they couldn't play in there.
I mean, would Kate Bush have been around if it hadn't been for punk?
Dave Gilmour apparently played for her first...
That's right, yeah. You know, it's hard to tell, isn't it? You know, would these bands be going like Blondie?
Oh, yeah.
You know, would they be there now?
I mean, if you look at the Pistols then, what it's in God Save the Queen and Anarchy in the UK.
Yeah.
I mean, those lyrics are incendiary.
Yeah.
You can't not notice what they're saying. And they got to number one, God Save the Queen. They're still still pretending they didn't. But you know, so that potentially could kick some off the
The Jam had a song out. I just forget at this minute what it was called, but there's a line in that. I don't give two about your review. And, you know...
Is that News of the World or something, is it?
It might have been News of the World, I can't remember. Yeah. My memory's not like it used to be, I'm afraid.
No,
I don't give two. It could be a modern world, you know, but that one word, don't give two, beep, back review, you know, people now think, what was the big deal about that?
Oh, yeah.
At the time, people were still quite conservative, really. I mean, all that changed with the Bill Grundy Show in a lot of ways.
Peter, I remember a gig at Ultravox in 1977 in Leeds, and I met these punk guys. They hated Sex Pistols, basically.
Right.
And they said, what do you hate Sex Pistols? Well, they sung that song about Queen. I'm going, what? What are you doing? What are you here for? But then Leeds had the distinction of having two National Front punk bands.
Right.
I didn't hear of any National Front punk bands anywhere else. Leeds had two, the Vents and the Dentists.
Right.
Who used to turn up at Gang of Four gigs at Mekong's and start loads of fighting. In the wilder world out there, there seemed to be a lot of racism and homophobia and all that. I always felt that punk tried to deal with a lot of those kind of issues. What was your group like? Were they all kind of mixed?
People I knocked them out with, we sort of moved on a little bit from punk into two-tone.
Right.
That was a big thing for us. It was like punk reggae, really.
Yeah.
Most of my friends, I had a lot of Asian friends at the time in the early days of punk, because I was still working in Bradford at the time.
Right.
I worked on the buses in Bradford at Formby Bus Depot, and I was invited to weddings and all sorts. And I went to Manningham Middle School, which at the time there was quite a few coloured people went to that school.
Yeah.
And we all got on well together. You know, I think a lot of this racism didn't seem as though it was that bad then, as bad as it became.
Yeah, well,
that's my opinion. I don't, you know, seeing it firsthand in a school. And then I move over to Morecambe, where you don't see coloured people or any other nationality, really. You know, totally different world, probably.
I grew up around it. I mean, there were Asian people on my street.
Yeah.
A lot of Eastern Europeans have come over from war. I always remember this little old lady. I'm assuming she was a Jewish lady because she had no family, and she used to let all the kids... She loved having parties and making food for all kids in the street. You know, I never saw anybody visit, so I assumed all her relatives had been killed in the Holocaust or something. You know, as a child,
I mean, I'd friends in Morecambe who were Polish, they came over after the war.
Yeah.
You know, the parents did. You know, we still go out and have a pint. You know, I'm going to be up going out for a pint with a great friend of mine in a short while, Dave Crawford.
Yeah, old Dave.
Young Dave. Getting ready for his Bradford Ska and Vintage Reggae Festival this weekend.
That sounds good. Where is it at university? Though?
Underground. He's moved it to the underground.
All right, nice.
Yeah.
So if anyone's out there, oh man, you're not going to hear it.
No.
Sorry, Dave.
Oh, dear. I try getting a plug in, Dave, for you.
Sorry, man.
But, you know, he stays with us, good friends, you know.
He's a good lad, isn't
he? He's a top guy.
Yeah, like, you know. Do you think there'll ever be anything like punk again?
No.
You don't think the kids are going to rebel or do anything? I think they've kicked all that out of them, haven't they?
Yeah. Too much for them to do now.
Yeah, too busy to think.
Yeah, they're always on the phones. They're either on the phone and listen to a CD. Well, CD, download.
Well, yeah.
I just don't think it'll never happen again.
It just seems to me like America, where they're dictating what they listen to. So
yeah.
Keep anything that's going to be potentially change them away from everything. Feels like we're just living in America.
Yeah, I mean, you see the scooter boys. I've got a scooter at home, but you don't see any young kids out. There will be young kids out there who've got scooters, your Vespas and what have you, and Lambrettas, but you don't see anyone young really going, you know, getting into that scene anymore. No. Although some of the dudes I go to, they are young. You've seen yourself at Nice and Sleazy. There's a lot of young kids into that. Because it is an alternative scene. And there are still people who do like it, but music will never be the same as what we've had.
Like I say, we were lucky. If you look at the 70s, Teds were
just going out.
But we still had Soul and Wigan and
Wigan Casino. A lot of
disco music.
I went to Thornton Grammar in my last year at school. I was there for a few years, but they all used to go to Wigan Casino at weekends.
Yeah,
you know, you had the Scooter Boys. You know, you had the Bay City Roller Crew.
Yeah.
You know,
there was a lot going on in one decade.
It was massive mid-70s to 1980, it was musically.
Everything was
there was so much talent came out of that era.
We were lucky, really.
You know, we had even like your Gary Newmans of this world.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Who would have thought, I mean, I used to knock about with Gary Newman. We used to go to Queen concerts together.
Wow.
There used to be a big gang of us, and he was part of the gang.
Wow.
You know, but you wouldn't think so, listening to his music.
No. I would have thought he was more into Ultravox.
Well, he would, he might have been, but he used to go to the Queen shows.
What do you think punk's legacy will be, then?
It's a difficult question, that. I think it changed music. I honestly believe it changed music. We've had a lot of bands sort of claim that they were influenced by punk bands. You know, there's been some massive artists come out of punk. You know, we've touched before on Kate Bush. You know, probably one of the best female singers ever, but not everyone's cup of tea.
No.
There were good times, and a lot of people claim that they were influenced by punk, the modern bands, although there's not many left, but...
But it could be just the attitude of punk. I mean, because that...
It was on the edge. It was on the edge.
And that do-it-yourself ethos, don't
it? Yeah, which is all to the fore now, because most bands can record an album now in the bedroom. You know, they might have been paying £2,000 a night for a studio at one time.
Yeah, you can do it on your phone now.
You can do it on your phone. It's frightening what
that's
you can do
now. That's all punk rock, though, isn't it? It's all
punk rock, do-it-yourself, yeah. So that part of the legacy will. I mean, if you wish, or my festival, I do my website, I do the posters, I have someone design, does the main designs now, but I used to do it all myself, you know, and that was do-it-yourself. People used to draw punk posters, right. Adam and the Ants, the Royal Standard, what have you. You know, so I suppose that ethos that you can go out and do what you want, I think that'll be the legacy, going out and doing what you want, and no one really cares.
I think it gives people the confidence to do it, though. That's the main thing. Not that one of the things. The attitude to question things. You know, I think our lives were mapped out for us before punk came along.
Mm.
We're all going to follow his dad down at Millon Endit Street and that.
Yeah.
And I think punk gave us the belief and the confidence to change that.
Yeah.
Especially working class kids.
I mean, my two kids, you know, they're in their 30s now. It's frightening. It really is frightening. My son, he loves Queen and people like Madness and music, and that sort of thing. He does like modern music, but he's always talking about Queen and what have you.
Right.
My daughter, Sam, loves punk music, loves ska music, Dirtbox Disco, the new bands that are coming through.
See, I went here all week and I told you I were expecting... I thought I'd be listening to 4 days of bands that sound like Exploited, and I was pleasantly surprised.
You couldn't live with it, 4 days of Exploited.
Oh, I couldn't even listen
to it. I couldn't live with 4 days of Exploited. Nothing against Exploited, but,
no, but
you do need a break. You do need something different to mix it up.
Yeah.
That's why I put Elvis on.
Yeah, I remember.
You know, Elvis is in the building.
It's great, though, isn't it, that you can do that. If you
can
do that in 1977, well, could you? Probably in some places.
You probably could have done.
Yeah, punks were quite accommodating back then. They were never... sort of overly aggressive with people.
No,
I don't remember.
But it's like every sort of tribe, if you wish. You know, there's always bad ones somewhere.
Oh, well, yeah, good and bad.
Football fans, you know, rugby fans, whatever.
Even football, and you know, when we were there, we had Liverpool European Cup final, and that usually sparks a bit of trouble. And everyone was just really peaceful and that. Yeah, well,
might have been different if it had been Manchester United and Liverpool, mine, but
well, yeah.
But normally, you know, on that weekend, we don't get any bother. It's but there's always someone bad in a bunch of people.
All right. Anyway, we're going to have to end it there because we've been on for...
Well, I could talk for hours, John. I really could. I mean that.
Oh, I could.
I love music so much.
But anyway, you know, thank you for coming in.
It's fine, John. Thank you.